look at somebody and say, holy shift. Ooh. I feel it in my bones that you're about to move, Jesus. So I'm going to be honest with you. Jesus tricked me. He really did. So in this season, you know, 2 weeks ago, I was like, yeah, I'll preach on the third. I was like, I have a message. You know, I did it. Covenant with Bishop. This will be perfect. It'll be great. No problem. And so, you know, this was like Ancient of Days. I was using a PC back then. And now I don't. So I was like, we got to go into the hard drive, get this sermon out, dust it off, and it's going to be great, you know? And so Adam emails it to me from the hard drive, and I start reading. I'm like, yes, this is perfect. I'm going to read over this. It'll be easy. It's going to be such a now word. And the Lord was like, that's old. That's not now. I was like, this is not going to work. This is not good. But he's tricky, Jesus, you know, in a good way. But today I'm going to talk about perspective shift. Perspective is so powerful. So I have a daughter. If you knew me before I had her, I prayed. I wept. I travailed. I fasted for a little girl that Jesus promised me. And let me just tell you, she is just so fantastic. She's just so incredible. She's just an incredible little human, you know? And she's very funny. And she's very much, she knows what time it is. I'm not talking about the actual time because she really doesn't know what time it is. She's only five. But she will be able to tell you what is going on. And so the other day I was upstairs and Adam was downstairs and I hear this situation happening. Daddy, do you have your phone? Daddy, do you have your keys? Daddy, do you have your wallet? Daddy, do you have your bag? And I'm just laughing upstairs because I'm like, that has happened. They've been down the road and Daddy has been like, oh, forgot my phone. Gotta turn back, Shiloh, you know. And so she is just out of care and thoughtfulness, just making sure that we know what's happening, you know? So I came downstairs and I was like, good morning, Sharon. Sharon is now the administrator here. And I was like, we have one at home too. This is awesome. If you all don't know Sharon, is Sharon in here? Is she in here? She's probably there. She's right there. This is an incredible human right here. You just don't even know. So I was just speaking that anointing over Shiloh. I was like, yes, yes, yes. But she is amazing. And how many of you know kids put things in perspective? So lately, she's been into this little book called Hidden Pictures. And the other day, she came up to me and I was working and she said, Mommy, can you stop working? And I was like, sure, Shiloh. And she said, I need you to look at something with me because your eyes can see things that mine can't. So I looked at this picture and here, it's a camping scene with a bear. It's just a camping scene. And this is a spider and the spider's just outside. Just normal, right? Normal picture. But it's not. Because she came to me and said, Mommy, I can't find the candy cane. Because candy canes aren't at camping grounds, right? But when I looked closer, I saw the candy cane. And I saw that my eyes could see what hers couldn't. And it was the moment that she stopped and said, can you help me see? And today, I think Jesus wants us to look. And look beyond the camping trip. Look beyond the tent. Look beyond the stars. Because he has things for us like candy canes. And balloons. And things that are otherworldly in other realms. But if we don't allow ourselves to shift our perspective, all we will see is what meets the eye. So today, can we go somewhere? Will you just put your hands on your head? Oh, Jesus, you are so good, and you are so patient, and you are so kind, and you love us so fiercely. And Jesus, I know that there's things that we are looking at and we're not seeing the whole picture. Can you help us identify the candy canes? Can you help us identify the hot air balloons? Can you help us see beyond just the basic page of life? I just ask right now that Holy Spirit, you would come into this room and you would renew our minds, that you would just make a transformation in our perspective right now. We surrender to you our minds and our thoughts, our souls and our spirits right now. And we just breathe in everything that you have for us this morning. And we breathe out everything that's toxic and not of you. In Jesus' name, amen. We need people. We need people to challenge our perspective. We need people to help us watch our words, because our words create our worlds. And today, I just want us to stop and really examine our perspective. My text is from Mark 6, 30 through 52. I know that's like more scripture than some of us have read in like 2 years, but it's okay. We'll read it all. You guys are a little quiet this morning. Are we awake? Okay, because we're going to have a conversation here. It's going to be amazing. Okay, so Mark 6. We all know this story. But I realized that a lot of us stopped the story right in the middle. So here we go. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. He said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from the town and got ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's very late. Send the people away so that they can go to surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than a half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up the 12 baskets of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Now, this is where most people stop the story. But look at this. Immediately, say immediately. Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to Bethesda while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on the mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be down." They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. I never realized that those stories were together. I never realized the progression that was happening there. I mean, just imagine with me, go back in time. So here's these disciples and they're going in and out and they're doing ministry and they're so tired. And even the disciples had accountability, just saying. They came back and told Jesus what they were doing. So we need to make sure we have accountability in our life. But Jesus, who is so good and he's so thoughtful, husbands, like, totally, this is good. You know, like if you go home and you're like, you look tired, you need to go to a remote place and rest. I mean, your wives will love that. I'm just saying, you know, you do not need to cook or clean for a week. So Jesus is like, let's go somewhere. Let's rest. You know, this is about balance. There's people all over the place. And the disciples are like, okay, yeah, we're so tired. You know, we're so tired. And so they get in the boat and they're ready to go over there. And guess what? There was no social media, y'all. There was no Facebook. There was no Instagram. There was no Twitter. There was no Fox News. There was no guest speaker. There was no guest artist. But the people turned up. Why? Because Jesus was coming. I think this is the season where we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. That Oasis City Church is known that Jesus is going to show up. I don't know who's gonna preach. I don't know who's gonna lead worship. But let me tell you who will be there. Jesus. They came by the thousands. There was no announcement. Actually, they were trying to run from the people. But people turn up when Jesus turns up. And so in this season, Jesus, we yield to whatever you want to do in this house. So they get over there. And can you just imagine the disciples? Like, I just was like playing this in my mind. I'm like, oh, you know, they're going over there to get a little R&R. And the people found them. They over there waiting. You know, they had fast feet. They were running, you know. They get there and they get off. And what does it say? Jesus was not like ticked off. Jesus wasn't annoyed. You know, when you're so tired and your life is falling apart and people are like, I stubbed my toe. And you're like, really, really? Like, I've been raising people from the dead and you're talking about stubbing your toe, you know? But Jesus is not annoyed. He has compassion for them. And I love what it says. Jesus, out of his compassion, begins to teach. Teaching the truth, teaching the word of God. See, social justice right now is becoming Bible. But compassion is the word of God. Compassion is saying, I know you might not see this, but this is truth. See, reality and truth are two really different things. The reality of those hidden picture books is that's a camping trip. But that's not just the truth. There's more. There's so much more than what we can see. So they get over there. Jesus starts teaching because he's like, these are sheep without a shepherd and they need me. And that's the thing, OC. There are people, there are sheep without a shepherd. And even though you might be really tired, there are sheep without a shepherd. And there are moments where we have to put down our own tiredness and our own weariness and say, there are sheep without a shepherd. And have compassion. So he's teaching, and you know, the disciples, they were tired and hungry before they went over there. So now they're like really tired and hungry. And I, you know, it just kind of seems like leaders in general, you know I've done it. Like, hey, Jesus, the people are really hungry. The people really need to go get something to eat, you know, because they were hungry. They really wanted to. And then, you know, they're saying this, trying to really bring this to Jesus's attention because clearly he's missing this, you know. And Jesus says to him, you give them something to eat. The disciples then answer a question that Jesus never asked. He never said, well, can you give them something to eat? He said, you give them something to eat. And they're like, but Jesus, like, do you even understand how expensive it will be? What it will cost me to feed these people? There's like a million of them. And Jesus is like, you're answering a question I never asked. I said, you feed them. Because see, Jesus understands that the ingredients for a miracle are always in our midst. But see, they couldn't get their butts out of the way. But, and it's as if we think that Jesus is unaware. Like he doesn't know. Like he's up in heaven and is like, oh my goodness, Peter, I had no idea there were so many of them down there. Like, do you even know what's going on at Oasis City Church? Like, I don't even know how this is going to work out. Jesus isn't scared, guys. Jesus is like, you feed them. Jesus is like, hey, that miracle you need, it's already in the midst, but you have to recognize it. And so, can't you just see their faces there? God cannot multiply what you do not recognize. So he says, well, what do you have? Go and see. So I can just see Peter, you know, like, what do you have? So now you have a challenge. Anybody have food for 5,000? It's actually more than 5,000 because we only counted the men. Is anybody? I didn't think so. Is there food for 15,000 anywhere? No, I didn't think so. Because so many times we think that we have to bring the whole instead of just bringing our enough. We count ourselves out because we don't have the whole. It happens all the time in church. Guys, we have a really big kids event and we need, you know, 100 kids volunteers. You think I'm supposed to get 100 volunteers for kids ministry? No, we just needed your enough. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Hey, we're going on an outreach and we're going to feed the hungry and we're going to feed 500 people. There is no way I have time in my busy schedule to feed 500 people. No, but you can feed one. So many times we're just like that. We count the cost as too heavy because we think that we are responsible to bring the whole. Here's this little boy. I get emotional every time I think about this little boy because he brings his lunch and he's like, I don't have enough, but maybe my enough is enough. I don't have enough to change it, but maybe my enough is enough. The Holy Spirit in this season is looking for someone's enough to breathe on and to breathe through. But so many times we hold our enough because we feel like we can barely make it. And if I give my enough, it's only enough for me. I only have enough time for my family. I can't serve. I only have enough money for my family. I can't give. I only have enough. And Jesus is like, won't you let me breathe on your enough? I just need someone yielded. I just need somebody willing. I just need someone that would dare to look beyond the pages and shift their perspective that maybe their enough is enough. Can you imagine that boy who probably was not even accounted for? Because it said in the Bible that they counted the 5,000 men. Many times God will use the one that is overlooked. He will use the one that's not even accounted for. You may feel forgotten. You may feel down and out. You may feel that your best season is behind you, but I'm telling you, God is searching the earth, trying to see who is yielded enough. He doesn't care. He doesn't care that you weren't counted. He doesn't care that you weren't in that number of 5,000. He could care less. He's just looking for your yieldedness to say, maybe my enough is enough, even if they don't see it. Could you imagine that mama? She packed that lunch. You never know when God may be using you to pack the ingredients for a miracle. Well, I don't really even know that it even mattered that I went and prayed with that person. Come on. I don't really even know. I mean, like, I'm on my phone. I'm in a big conversation. I don't want to stop and be kind to this person. I'm so busy. I mean, it really doesn't matter if I shift the conversation from negative to positive. Does it really matter if I'm loving the unlovable? Yeah. I mean, does it really matter if I take time out of my schedule and go on a treasure hunt with Jeremy and Hong? It does, actually. Yeah. It does, because you have no idea if you have the ingredients that God wants to use in the next miracle. Yes. Yes. You have no idea. But when we aren't yielded, when our perspective is all on ourselves and not outward, we can miss it. What if that mama just didn't pack that day? Because see, that ingredient of yieldedness was in her son. What if he didn't have a lunch that day? Don't ever underestimate who you are in the kingdom of God. Every single person here is so critical to the Father. He looks at you, and you have ingredients for miracles. Every single one of you have value to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. He knows you by name. Yes. So Peter comes, and I'm thinking Peter comes, because I just pick on Peter, you know. But Peter's like, okay. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Here it is, Jesus. You know, and in his mind, he's like, I told you so. Like, we should have let them go to the mall with food court and buy their own lunch. Like, here we are. They're never coming back. They are not coming back next Sunday. Way to go. Your service went too late. You're talking about the Holy Spirit. You're speaking in tongues. They're never coming back. And Jesus is like, okay, so that's all you have, right? That's right, Jesus. That's all there is. Okay. Just making sure we're clear. So 5 loaves, 2 fishes, that's all there is, right? Yes, Jesus, that's all there is. And just so you know, there's more than 5,000. That's what we counted the men. Okay, cool. Awesome. I just want to make sure, because I want to make sure that you know that you've done all you can. I just want to clarify the situation, that there is an impossible situation here. Because Peter, if you can do it, then what do you need me for? That's a gatherer. So we're clear. 5 fishes, 2 loaves. See, God isn't disqualified as God when the math doesn't add up. The impossibility of the circumstance is what activates the miraculous. Yeah. There's no miracle if it's just normal. Right. I have 8 pieces of pizza and there's 8 people. Great miracle. No, it's not. I have 8 pieces of pizza and 800 hungry kids. Now that's a miracle. Right. See, we think it's our job to figure everything out. We think it's our job to bring the solution, where Jesus just wants us to recognize the problem and pull down the solution from heaven. Yeah. It's a different perspective. Well, I really don't know how they're going to fix this. You don't have to. Yeah. I don't either. Right. Well, I really don't know how this is going to work out. You don't have to. Amen. Just Jesus does. Right. Right. It always has been. And it always will be Jesus. So he takes the bread, and what does he do? He blesses it. And see, here's the thing. Many of us mistake management issues with miraculous issues. Jesus, I really need a miracle in my finances. Like, it is really bad. No, you need management in your finances. You need to stop spending more than you earn. Jesus, I need a miracle in my health. I mean, I really... Jesus is like, you got to get healthy. I know it's not always fun. Jesus, I need a miracle in my relationship. You need to manage your marriage. You need to make time for each other. You need to outlove one another. You need to stop thinking about being right all the time. Why would I give you a miracle to mismanage when you can't manage what I've given you? We as the body of Christ really need to identify what are management issues and what are miracle issues. So Jesus takes it. He takes the 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and he blesses it. But so many of us have cursed our enough, and then we want him to bless it. I just can't stand this house. This house is too small. This is not the house that I wanted. Okay, but you have a house. You know, this couple always gets to go to the best restaurants and the best vacations, and I don't get to go anywhere. You have food on your table, right? See, many times we curse our current provision because we're looking at someone else and we have no idea what they went through to get there. We're judging our present situation, not knowing where we're at in the process, based on someone else's climax in their book. Thanks, Monty. But I'm telling y'all, we all do this. Facebook is so evil sometimes. And we have no idea what things cost people. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about bloody knees from praying so hard. You have no idea what people's blessing cost them. We have got to shift our perspective from thinking that everybody has things we don't have. Jesus will take care of all of us because we're all his kids. Yeah. What happens in this culture? What happens if Oasis City Church for 1 year just blessed everything that comes in their hands? Yeah. When they walk into their house, even though it's not their forever home, they're like, Jesus, thank you for heat. Thank you for furniture. Thank you for a bed to lay my head. Do you know there are people without homes? There are people without beds. What happened if wives who aren't getting to spend as much time with their husbands, they're at work, they're here, and just said, thank you, Jesus, that my husband is a provider. What happened if we blessed our kids even when they're acting crazy? Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. What happened? What happens if we started blessing the things at church that we even think should be different? Thank you, Lord, that we are the head and not the tail. Thank you, Lord, that we are in this world, but we are not of it. Thank you, Lord, that you are a good father and you will walk us through, that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us. Thank you, Lord. What happens if we shift from cursing the very things that are in our hands and we just make a conscious decision to bless it? Yes. Yes. I think that's a challenge for us in this day. Yes. And I'll tell you, the Lord gave me this message and that one. I was like, oh, okay, okie dokie. And so I'm talking to Kelly, my best friend. I was like, that is interesting. And she was like, what is wrong with you? I was like, I'm not cursing anything anymore. That's interesting, you know? So it's going to take time and we're still real and we can say this stinks. But when we speak to things and curse it, that is going the wrong direction. It's time that we begin to bless things. So Jesus takes it and he blesses it and then he breaks it. Wow. The miracle's in the breaking. The feeding is in the breaking. The miracle of multiplication hadn't even happened until he broke it. What's that thing? What's that one thing that you thought, this is going to take me out? That one thing that you thought, this is going to destroy me? That one thing that you thought, I don't know if I can get up. What's that one thing?
can I tell you, he's right there. Yeah. He's in the breaking. And if you just trust him, right, he will see that through. Yes. The breaking is the breeding ground for the miraculous. You see, it's not my mountaintop experiences. People will ask me, you know, when you lead worship, Tara, I just can feel that you feel God's love as a father. And when I think about the most intimate moments that I've had with Jesus, what I've had with the Father, it's not the mountaintop experiences, guys. It's the moments. It's the moments as they're taking my child to have brain surgery. It's the moments of loss and grief. It's the moments of not knowing where money will come from. It's those moments that you just find out that he is enough. Don't resist the breaking moments because it's so critical to the process. Amen. Yes. You know, if in the middle of breaking it, one of the disciples said, oh, it'd be much nicer to give them whole loaves. Jesus would be like, be quiet. You know, you see broken pieces and he sees a miracle. Yeah. It's time we shift our perspective. And at this point, the text turns. And he puts the people in groups of 50 and 100. Okay. Let's just say there's just 5,000, which we know there is more. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 50. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I mean, can you imagine? In the midst of hunger, he takes the time to get the structure right. Wow. Even when there is grumbling and complaining and people are like, let's get on with it. Jesus knows that the structure is important. Adam and I were talking about, that's why administrative work is so beautiful. God loves it just as much as anything else. We think it's so spiritual. I'm so spiritual up here leading worship. It's nothing without everything. It's nothing without a system and structure. And here's why. Because Jesus wanted the miracle to be able to facilitate. He wanted it to be able to continue. Can you imagine if it was mass chaos, which it would have been? Like, hey, I'm throwing you a loaf and you a loaf. I didn't get my loaf. You know, it'd be crazy. So Jesus knows it's worth taking the time. It's worth taking the time to get this structure correct so that it can bear the weight of the miracle. So then this is what Jesus does. I just love this. I would just love to see this in church. He breaks it and he doesn't give it to the people. He gives it to the disciples. Well, I want my bread straight from Jesus. Why do I have to have my loaf from Bartholomew? I mean, that's a weird name anyways. I don't want this fish from Peter. I mean, just to be honest, I live way more holy than Peter. I could run a small group better than Peter. Why do I have to have it from him? I mean, I want it straight from Jesus's hands. But see, here's the thing. Jesus is like, I need to see who I can trust that they won't murmur and complain about the distribution of the source. Because I'm the source, okay? I'm the source. I'm enough. And I can't give it to all of you. So I'm empowering other leaders to give it to you. I'm going to say this. This is a season of empowering leaders. This is a season where leaders can rise up and run. And I declare that in the name of Jesus. This is a season where Jesus, as the source, is breaking bread and breaking the fish. And it is all of our jobs to be a part of the distribution. Yes. Yes. Amen? Yes. Amen. And leaders, don't think just because your hands touched that loaves or that fish, loaf or fish, that you had anything to do with that miracle. I will be honest with you. I love to lead worship. I don't get nervous leading worship anymore. But when I speak, I'm like, oh, Jesus, I humble myself so that you do not have to humble me. You know? So I'm like, I don't want to fall on my face. I can do nothing without him. I have really come to that conclusion in my life that I am nothing but a hot mess without Jesus. In the moment that we think that we can do anything, that's when pride comes in, and pride comes before a fall. So leaders, we have to realize we get to be a part. That's it. We get to be a part. He is looking for distribution that points to the source. He's looking for leaders that are happy to be in the shadow of his glory. I don't know about you, but I want to be one of those leaders. You all are called to lead somebody. What happens when a group of people says, just hide me in the shadow of your glory? I don't need a name. I don't need to be seen. I just want your glory to be so thick and so tangible that it covers me. What would happen if we shifted our perspective? So they all were satisfied, and the text changes. There were 12 baskets left over. Okay. He's Jesus. So like, he knows everything. Wouldn't you think he would just have just enough? Like, I mean, I wouldn't think Jesus would be like a waster. Why do you do that? There were 12. Huh. There were 12 disciples. So go ahead and pick up your basket of broken pieces. Come on. I'm going to go in a boat. See, Jesus wants you to take the remnant of the miracle so that when you get ready to walk into your next season, you can look down and he's with me. I remember what you did. He's with me. The waves are really big, but you're with me. I feel like this wave could swallow me. You're with me. They see broken pieces, but I see a miracle. See, we've got to pick up our basket of broken pieces and take it everywhere that we go. Because how quickly they can forget. It's not even 8 hours later. Jesus is on the mountain and he's watching them the whole time. You may feel it is so dark right now. You may feel that Jesus is so distant. He's watching you. He was just up on that mountain praying, but his eyes were right on them. He saw them. He sees you. He sees your heart. He sees the storms. He knows how big the wave is, and he's watching you. And he's like, look down. Look at those broken pieces. Remember what just happened? So Jesus, he sees they're completely and utterly freaking out. So he gets on the water, you know, and I love it. It's like Jesus doesn't get in a boat. He's like, you know, he walks on the very wave that you think will swallow you. He walks on it. And what do they think? They think he's a ghost. They just had touched a miracle, and not even 8 hours later can't even recognize the miracle maker. We have to shift our perspective in this season. We've got to fix our focus. As the band comes up, here's the thing. It always was, and it will always be about Jesus. And the moment that we fix our eyes on anything else, the waves will look like they will swallow us. It will look like they will consume us, the storm of life. But I'm here to tell you today that Jesus sees you. And as you're holding up your picture book to him, he's saying, wait, look a little closer. I have candy canes. I have hot air balloons. I know that it seems like it's really, really dim right now. And it seems dark. But I have eyes that can see things that you can't see. I just want to challenge you today, OC. This is the season that we shift our perspective. We take a hold of our thoughts. We take our words and weigh them before we speak them. Your words are powerful. If everybody would just stand up to their feet, I want to end with this worship song. I think there's two things that we can do here right now in this moment. We can let our mind be renewed and remember the things that Jesus is capable of. Because sometimes we put limits on him. And then the second thing that we can do is we can just surrender to that. So just look at these words. It's so, so powerful. The mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe it. Yes, we can see that wonders are still what you do. Bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe it. Yes, we can see that wonders are still what you do. Here's our response. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Come on, tell him. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. 'Cause we need a move. Come on, right now, just picture you're enough. Just picture you're enough. Today, can we say to the Father, maybe my enough is enough. Yeah. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us shift our perspective to realize that our part in the whole is so critical. Maybe my enough is enough, Jesus. Whoo. Come on, sing from the top again. Let's just acknowledge who he is.
And mountains are still being.
Yes, they are. Strongholds.
Strongholds are still being. Woo!
Come on, tell him.
God, we believe. Yes, we can see that wonders are still what you do.
Whole bodies, yeah.
Bodies are still.
Come on, stir our faith today, Jesus.
Giants are still being slain. God, we believe. Yes, we see that wonders are still.
Won't you tell him this morning we are here?
We are here for you. Come.
We just recognize our need for a move of the Holy Spirit. We recognize our need for a move of the Holy Spirit, and we yield to that move. We yield to that move. Can you just lift your hands right now and yield to the move of God? We yield to the move of God, and we say, have your way. Have your way. Have your way.